All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 for the message tonight. Acts chapter 27. All right, this is a rather lengthy chapter, and but the chapter tells the story that I want to preach on tonight, but I don't want to take time to read all 44 verses of this. I'm actually going to preach the message tonight from verse 44. So let me just briefly tell you what has happened here. If you look back at verse 14, it says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." All right, now Paul, the Apostle Paul, has been put on a ship, and they took out across the Mediterranean, and winter was coming, and the seas were rough. And so so they did not want to stay in Crete, so they took they kept going. And the ship got into all kinds of trouble. The storm was terrible, and they were throwing stuff off the ship. They had a bunch of prisoners on the ship, taking them for trial and for execution. And they had a bunch of centurions, a bunch of soldiers on the ship. And Paul befriended one of the centurions. And that helped him and helped the other men that were being held captive on this boat. All right, so let's see. Go down to, let's say verse 40. All right, verse 40, it says, "And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." All right, now get the picture, all right? Don't just read over it. Get the picture. They're trying to make it to shore, and they thought, well, let's just ride the wind and let's just ride the waves, and we'll see if we can get there quickly. So they lightened the ship, and then they hoisted the mainsail, and they are just cruising. But what happened was you had a spot where two currents came together, and it created a sandbar. And when they got to this sandbar, they hit it head on. And when they hit it head on, they run the ship into the sand, and it got stuck. Well, the waves don't care. They just kept pounding and kept pounding and kept pounding until the back part of the ship was torn to pieces. All right, everybody got the situation? All right, now look at verse 42. "And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape." The Romans had a law. You might remember, when you are in charge of somebody and you let them escape, you paid the price. You remember the fellow that was the keeper of the jail in Philippi. And when the earthquake happened and Paul and the rest of the gang he thought they had gotten free. He was getting ready to fall on his sword and take his own life. Now, why did he do that? Well, because if you let prisoners go, depending on who you got as your judge and executioner, you may be tortured and you may wish that you had gone ahead and taken your life. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And so he ended up leading a man to Christ, led his family to Christ. You remember the story? All right. So, so these centurions didn't want anybody to get to shore. They were heading towards shore. They knew where the shore was. So they're heading towards the shore. And they were going to kill the prisoners lest any escape. Verse 43. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, remember now the ship has broken apart. And so there are the boards from the ship are floating by. Some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. Would you notice that? Some on broken pieces of the ship. And Luke adds, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, using verse 44, it says, and some on broken pieces of the ship. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, the broken things in life. The broken things in life. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we stand in awe of your Word. And I want to thank you for the lessons we can learn. And Lord, there are some lessons that we can learn tonight. And I pray you will help us to see the pictures and to tie things together. And Lord, I ask that you will just give us understanding of your word tonight. Thank you for putting this little story in the Bible. And thank you for what we can glean from it tonight. And Lord, I pray that you, your Holy Spirit will use this in our hearts to help us and to encourage us in this dark and evil day in which we live. Lord, just allow your word to speak to someone's heart tonight, and may it make a difference in somebody's life. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This is going to be one of those nights. Do what? Yeah, think about Jack Hiles, yeah. All right, no comment? No comment? I knew you had a comment. I could see it in your face. I could see it in your face, which is a scary sight. All right. Do you know the story now? Amazing, amazing how the Lord delivered Paul here. And absolutely detailed. Luke gave us so many details in this story. And it's a rather lengthy story about what happened in Paul's life. You remember when he was describing in 2 Corinthians, he was talking about all the things that he had to endure and the things he had to go through for the cause of Christ. And he talked about being out in the deep. Well, that's out in the middle of the Mediterranean. He was out in the ocean, in the Mediterranean Sea. nothing around. The Lord was the only one that got him through. And you must understand that Paul was not a young man when this happened to him. This was near the end of Paul's life. So it's just miraculous how the Lord intervened and how the Lord blessed him. You can imagine what this must have been like to go through. I mean, here's Paul up in years, and he finds himself out in the middle of a storm, out in the middle of a rough patch of seas. It's wintertime. The ship is on a sandbar. The waves are pounding and beating into the ship, and the ship begins to break apart. This would have been a harrowing experience. He was being taken to Rome to stand trial before Caesar, to answer the charges that the Jews had been making against him as an insurrectionist, as a troublemaker. And he was told over and over and over by the Jews and then over and over by the Romans that he was not to preach the gospel anymore, that everywhere he went to preach, he caused a riot. And so they finally arrested him and were taking him to answer to Caesar for these charges. And that's when they hit the sandbar and they got the ship hung up. And while they're stuck on this sandbar, it was a spot where the waves were turbulent because of the currents and coming from two directions at the ship. And in no time, the back of the ship began to rip apart. Now, the guards thought that they should just go ahead and kill the prisoners. That way they would not have to stand charges themselves if any of them ever turned up anywhere and it was revealed that they had escaped while under their care. But Paul had won the favor of one of the centurions, and so he convinced the others not to kill all the passengers, and they all decided that they would just jump into the water and try to make it as best they could to the shore. And we're told in verse 44 that men jumped on boards, floating from where they had torn off the ship, and they used them as buoys, as life jackets, if you will, in order to float to land. And then the Bible tells us that others used broken pieces from the ship and floated on them. And then Luke adds miraculously that everyone escaped to safety and everyone made it to land. Now, I want you to look again carefully at verse 44, broken pieces. I read that a couple of weeks ago, and I just thought there's got to be a thought there somewhere. And so I've been thinking on it, and I want to share a couple of things with you tonight about the broken things in life. You know, when you think about it, when you just stop and think about it, there are a lot of broken things in life. There are a lot of things that get broken or that are broken. And I want to share a couple of these thoughts with you this evening and trust that it will bless your heart. Let's think about some of the broken things in life that all of us at some time or another have to deal with. Now, let me give you the first one here, and let me explain a little bit. I want you to stay with me. I think you'll see the picture and see the point that I want to make. I want us to think, first of all, of something that all of us have to deal with that gets broken all the time in our lives. As we go through life, there are a lot of things that are broken, a lot of things that get broken, but I want to speak about, first of all tonight, something that gets broken all the time. You say, well, what's that, Pastor? think first of broken time. Broken time. Benjamin Franklin said, time is the stuff of life. It's the stuff of life. And time is something that can be easily broken in our lives. And you know, the amazing thing is we all have the exact same amount of time in every day. We all have the same, but our time can be easily broken. There can be things that will come along and occupy all of your time if you're not careful. There are things, our time can be broken by interruptions. Sometimes those interruptions are annoying and they're irritating. I mean, especially if you're trying to get something done. But interruptions to our time, which break our time, it's something that happens all the time. I mean, sometimes these breaks in our time are inevitable, and sometimes they're caused by our own doing. And you know, one of the greatest lessons that we can ever learn as a Christian, as a believer, is to learn how to keep pressing on to achievement even though we are often interrupted. You see, a lot of times something will happen and it'll interrupt what we're doing and we're done. We're done. Have you ever noticed that cell phones go off at the most inopportune time in the services? Have you ever sat down to read your Bible and then all of a sudden the phone rings, the doorbell rings? I mean, everything under the sun happens. Folks, the devil does not want you reading your Bible. He just doesn't. And we can very easily find our time broken. And what we need to do is learn the lesson of how to keep pressing on to achievement, even though we are often interrupted. And that is how any successful person comes ashore. That's how any, get the picture now, that's how any successful person comes ashore. Listen, you've got family, you've got work, you've got shopping, you've got cooking, you've got chores. I mean, but make sure that you keep time for the Lord every day in your life. The devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from giving God the time that you need to give him every day of your Christian life. So we have to seize the hours of each day and make the most of them. Listen, folks, once these guys found themselves in the water, I will guarantee you, they jumped on the first thing that came floating past them. They got right on it. They didn't sit there and say, no, I believe I'll let that one go. No, the first thing that bobbed by their heads, they were on it. And let's just be honest, folks. Life is full of broken time. There are so many things that can get in our way, and before you know it, they have stolen away the hours. But I want you to think about this now and rescue your opportunities. Rescue your opportunities and toil on in spite of the interruptions that you will face as you serve the Lord. The devil will do everything he can to break apart your day. He'll do everything he can and to keep you occupied with your own survival, but determine each day that you're going to jump on the broken time and find comfort and safety in the Word of God. Read your Bible and pray to the Lord each and every day in spite of the interruptions. And I think knowing how your enemy works is half the battle. You know? So if you're aware that the devil is trying to break your time and keep you away from the Lord, then I think that'll give us more resolve when we see it happening. All right? Now, let me ask you this. Has everything on Sunday morning just been fine until you got in the car? And then World War III broke out? Isn't that strange how that works? Oh, the devil doesn't want you listening. He wants you sitting in here. When I say open your Bibles, he wants you, well, I didn't leave the door open. I don't want everybody fussing at me for I didn't leave the door open. I mean, one word's all it took to remind you of what you got into it about before you left the house. Be aware of what the devil's doing. Broken time. Second thing, let's find comfort for those in this passage. Let's find comfort for those suffering from broken health. Let's find comfort in this. Notice, look at the verse. And the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. Folks, think about it. It was the broken ship that saved them. It was the broken ship that was their refuge. When I was younger, when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s, I never really thought as much about the plight that many of my church members were dealing with the sicknesses that they had. Now, I knew they were sick. I understood that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it never really gripped me like it does now. And the reason is because of what I've had to go through. You know, as I've grown older and experienced my own health problems, and I've had all these surgeries and all these procedures and all these tests and all that, I have a little more empathy today when I hear what you are facing and what you have to deal with. I now realize what I did not realize before. I think I understand this better today than I've ever understood it in my life. And that is that physical health is a priceless blessing. It is a priceless blessing. Now, to all of you young people, and you're strong and you're healthy right now, let me tell you something, young people. Thank God for His blessing upon you. I mean that. You better praise the Lord that you've got your health. Right now, your ship is sailing just fine. And you are sailing through life with the wind at your back. You've got the sail out and you're moving. Life for you right now is great. It's fun. It's full of excitement. It's full of adventure. But let me tell you something, and I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to get you to face reality. If the Lord tarries His coming, the day will come when you're going to hit a sandbar. And when you hit it, you need to be prepared. You need to be ready. And never forget, you should start preparing your mind and your heart for it right now. While you've got strength and while you're healthy. Never forget that with a little courage and a little faith and trust in God and patient, quiet endurance, you can get to shore on the broken pieces of the ship. Some of the greatest servants the world has ever known dealt with broken health. Some of the greatest servants. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Charles Haddon Spurgeon battled gout back in the 1800s. They didn't have a pill for that. High uric acid. And oh, did it made you so sick. He used to take 6 months respites down in the south of France to get out of the cold London damp winters. 6 months. And he would go south just so he could walk. And the list goes on and on. Richard Baxter, great preacher of years gone by, battled disease all his life. John Bunyan. The list just goes on and on forever. You know all the names and you've heard all the stories. The truth is, folks, many of us will face and are facing broken health. As you look around this room tonight, there is practically on every pew, if not on every pew, someone who at one time was sailing high on the seas of life, but your health has hit a sandbar. So what's the key? The key is to cling onto the broken pieces of the ship and get to shore. The key is just to hang in there and keep going. You know, Spurgeon suffered beyond measure, but he kept preaching and he kept writing and he kept the soul winning going, and he kept building the orphanages and seeing little boys and girls get saved. John Bunyan was cast into prison, and for years, I mean years, folks, they would come to his cell and he's sitting in there suffering from fever, suffering from starvation. And they would say to him, you know, preacher, if you will just promise not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll let you out of prison. And he said no. And they sent his child in to see him. And that little child came in weeping and said, Daddy, if you will just promise not to preach Jesus, they'll let you out of prison. And he said, no, I cannot stop telling the story of Jesus and his love. I'm saying, folks, with your health broken to pieces, find a way to get to the shore. Find a way. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm telling you tonight for a reason. I'm telling you this service for a reason. Because Marjorie would kill me. You know Marjorie, little lady here in the wheelchair. She's here every Sunday morning, and she's here every Wednesday night. Now, she would come on Sunday night, but they won't bring her. She lives down in Baltimore. Did y'all know that? She doesn't live here. She lives down in Baltimore. And she found out that we were a gospel-believing, Bible-believing, fundamental preaching church. And we weren't built on the music program. We weren't built on the coffee and donuts. That we didn't build this church on bingo. And so she said, I want to go to that church. So she came up here several years ago, and now every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, she's here. She's here. What a blessing. And she loves it. This is her church. This is her church. She would come on Sunday night, but they'll only bring her once a day. They will. You all don't know this. Some of you might. There was a time when she was here on Sunday night. And I went to her and I said, Marjorie, did you talk them into bringing you on Sunday night? And she wouldn't answer me. I said, Marjorie, you're not answering my question. She said, I don't want to talk about it. I said, Marjorie, you're not supposed to be here on Sunday nights. They will not bring you but once a day. Why are you here? You want to know why she was here? When the service was over, she wheeled down the hallway and hid out in the bathroom. Stayed here all afternoon so she could be in church on Sunday night. You see now why she'd kill me? Now, let me tell you something. A couple years ago, when I was so sick, there were a lot of Sundays where I literally had to force myself to come. I would come in here hurting, struggling, and many times suffering. But then I would either come down the hallway and see Marjorie getting out of that van, or I would walk through those doors and see Marjorie sitting here in her wheelchair, and all of a sudden, things changed in my heart. With Marjorie's condition, she can't hold a job. She cannot do much of anything because of the disease that has stripped her of her strength and of her health. But every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, Marjorie gets on a broken piece of the ship. She gets in a van and she comes all the way from Baltimore to be at the services of her church. On a broken piece of the ship, she comes to shore. And I can walk in and see her and shake her hand and say hello to her, and it encourages and blesses my heart and lifts me up to a higher plane. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like coming sometimes. I know how you feel. I know how you feel. Been there, done that, got the ball cap. But why don't you get on a broken part of the ship and find your way to shore? You'll be so much happier if you serve the Lord, even with bad health. Number three, let's go from a shattered physical to a shattered faith. Let's go from a shattered physical to a shattered faith. You know, there are a lot of people in this world whose faith in Christ is just terribly broken. It's just terribly broken. This grieves me. This is probably the heaviest burden that I carry as a pastor. This is probably my albatross that is around my neck. How many folks were raised in church, raised in a Christian home, who at one time accepted things and were on board? They prayed, they read their Bibles, they attended the Christian school here. They attended all the Sunday school classes, then got in the youth group and went on youth activities and went on missions trips and never missed church. But now the years have passed and everything for them is different. Everything's different. Once freed from the bondage of home, a full-scaled attack from the devil came. And wave after wave of sin, with all of its fruit, has shattered a faith that was once strong and broken it to pieces. that once sweet assurance is now gone. The years have passed and everything is different. And it's just like Peter said in 2 Peter that after a while you can even forget that you were even saved from your old sins. And to that person, their faith was once like a strong ship, flags flying, the mast at full, and riding mightily over the waves. They thought nothing could keep them from reaching the harbor, riding through this storm and then the next storm. But little did they stop to consider the power contained within the seas of life. And now that gallant vessel is wrecked. And to that person listening to me right now, I have a sincere message for you from my heart. I want to tell you with all the sincerity that I can muster, for I sincerely believe with all of my heart that what I'm about to tell you is true. But young person, middle-aged person, elderly person, listen to me. On the broken pieces of the ship, you can make it to shore. You see, much is lost. I mean, look at verse 41. The waves came and tore the back end of the ship apart. Much is lost, but something remains. What still remains? Well, there are pieces that you can cling to, and those pieces will hold you up, and you can use them to get safely to the shore. You see, you got to realize the Lord is still your Savior. You got to realize you can still get in the Bible and learn the things of God. You got to realize you've got a church here that loves you. You'll be welcomed back with open arms. You got a Holy Spirit that lives in the heart. Oh, it may be that the flesh has got him shoved over in a corner somewhere. But all you got to do is just call out to him and he'll come running to your aid. He wants you to come back. He wants you to serve him like you once did when you were younger. Yeah, you went out on life's sea and you hit a sandbar and your ship has been falling apart ever since. But would you grab on to one of the broken pieces and find your way to the shore? You will find the Lord there. You will find him ready and eager to receive you back into fellowship with him. And then number four. Let's apply this to broken character. Broken character. Oh, how the devil comes along the seas of life and breaks apart our lives. You know, there are so many people in the Bible who were attacked at their character. I'm thinking of the prodigal son. That boy was totally broken as he was out in the far country. His conduct had disgraced the very name son. He was a disgrace to his father. I wonder how many listening tonight have disgraced the name son. Oh, you're saved. You are a son of the living God through faith in Christ, but out on life's sea, some storm has broken your Christian character. I'm thinking about the Apostle Peter. Can you see him standing outside of Pilate's hall, warming his hands at the fire, and someone says, "Hey, I recognize you. You're one of that guy's disciples. You're one of his followers." And Peter had a complete and total shipwreck in a moment's time. It just all fell apart for him. "No, not me. I don't even know that guy. And you go back and check, Peter even cursed and said he didn't know the Lord Jesus. I'm thinking of Rahab. You know, we call her Rahab the harlot. Let me tell you, when you get to heaven, whatever you do, don't let that slip. But by the grace of God, or but for the grace of God, I'm thinking of Rahab, the way her life turned out. How disgraceful to have to sell yourself and to demean and deny every single ounce of character you ever possessed. How sad. How sad. I'm thinking about Mary Magdalene, that woman that was possessed of seven devils. What a shipwreck of a life to be controlled and directed by the forces of the devil himself. But wait a minute. Thanks to the grace of God, on broken pieces of the ship, every one of these made it to shore. Every one of them. The prodigal came home again. And when he did come home, there was music and joy and a feast of celebration in his house. Mary Magdalene was drawn out of the mire and given her sanity again and became a woman of great grace and character. The Apostle Peter, man, he ended up standing on the day of Pentecost and preaching the message out of all the disciples. God gave him that privilege of preaching, and 3,000 people got saved. Think of that. We need to thank God for His mercy and grace and for His power to forgive. I'm sure when this ship hit the sandbar, everyone thought the worst would happen. How can we possibly survive this disaster? But then a piece of the deck floats by and you see your chance to make it, and some got on the broken pieces and they rowed them safely into shore. And I want you to notice verse 44. I can't emphasize it enough. They all escaped to land. Folks, that's the glorious hope that is found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, no matter how far your heart has drifted away from the Lord upon life's sea, when it starts to fall apart and it looks like all hope is lost, thank God there is one standing with open arms. Trust Him. Trust Him. Last week, or week before last, on Wednesday night, I preached at Pensacola Christian College. They have a church on campus that when the students aren't there, there's about 1,500 people in their church. And so on Wednesday night, the folks come to church, the church folks. Now, all the students are there, but the church folks are there too. And I preached that message that I preached on John the Baptist a couple of weeks ago. And in that message, I got to talking about John's character. And I didn't plan to do it. I certainly didn't have it in my notes. I didn't do it when I preached a sermon here. But for some reason, I know what it is now, but I didn't know at the time. But the Holy Spirit kind of directed me, and I got off on just a little rabbit trail, not a long one. You don't have a whole lot of time down there to mince words. I mean, I tell you, 30 minutes. 30 minutes. I got introductions that are 30 minutes. Much less 3 points in a poem. So I got off on this little rabbit trail about character, and I just mentioned, I said, perhaps there's somebody here tonight and you walked with God at one time and you planned on serving God at one time, but for some reason, you have walked away from the call that God placed on your life. Well, I gave the invitation, and a lot of folks came forward. It was a wonderful service. And I saw a man sitting over on my right, and he made his way through past several other people and came to the altar with tears in his eyes. When the service was ended, he came up on the platform where I was taking the microphone off and speaking with the administration. And he walked up on the platform and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "Can I speak to you?" I said, "Well, sure." And I turned around, we walked a little ways. And when we stopped walking, he turned around. When I looked at him, he was crying. And I said, "Is everything okay?" He said, I gotta ask you something." I said, "Well, ask away." He said, "I'm 64 years old." I said, "Okay." He said, "Do you think God could still use a 64-year-old man?" I said, "Well, I think he can." He said, "Well, let me tell you my story." And he told about how he was raised in church. And he told me how he was involved in his youth group and his mom and dad faithfully served in the church and sang in the choir. And he then told me how he went to Bible college while in Bible college, he got a job and he started making a lot of money. And he said, "Now I finished Bible college." I said, "Good." But he said, "Instead of going into the ministry, I chose to go to make money." I said, "Did you make it?" He said, "I did." And he said, "I just happened to be going by this church, by this school." And he said, "I knew there was a church on there. I've seen their advertisements. But," he said, "I came by here this morning and the Lord said to my heart, you need to go to church." He said, "Now mind you, there are churches all over this town." I said, "Yes, there is. I've seen that." He said, "But I felt like I was supposed to come here." I said, "Well, you did." He said, "Yeah, and then you preached what you did." I said, "Well, sir, here's my notes. What I preached that spoke to your heart is not in my notes. That was the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention." With the tears flowing down his face, he said, "He's got it." And my question to you, preacher, is, can the Lord use a man who was called, who went to Bible college, and then turned and went the other direction? I said, "Sir, if that man has come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, I think the Lord can use that man." He hugged me. I took him over and introduced him to the pastor. And I told the pastor, I said, "This man needs some encouragement and some counseling. And you need to sit down with him and show him from the Bible that even though he's 64 years old, God can still use him." Amen. You know, there are churches everywhere that could use a 64-year-old man who had a heart to be used of God. Amen. The broken things in life. Folks, we all have them. And I want you to know that eventually something is going to break in your life. Eventually, your time, your health, your faith, your character, eventually something's going to break. But hey, church, listen, if it does, look quickly. Look quickly. They didn't have long to react. When the ship broke apart, there was urgency here. It's either do something or drown. And when your ship breaks apart, would you see some broken pieces of the ship? Jump on it. Hang on. And use it to get to shore. The broken things in life.